Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Peace. There's something about that word that just draws us in. Maybe your world seems a little chaotic personally, or you think what's going on around the globe feels like nothing but peace, but that word peace just wants to draw us in. I mean, who doesn't? Who doesn't want more peace in their personal lives? Who doesn't want more peace in our world? But yet, peace can seem so elusive. Well, scratch that. Maybe peace just is downright elusive for you. You're like, how can I have that peace? How, with everything that's going on around me, could I experience that level of peace? How do you even sleep in heavenly peace? What does that look like? The prophet Isaiah, writing 700 years before the babe in the manger was to be born, gave us these words, these descriptions of our coming Messiah, the gift of Jesus. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And each one of these names describes Jesus, and each one of these names gives us a bit of his character, but it's all a gift to us, because each name is a gift to you and I. And the Prince of Peace is a gift that Jesus wants all of us to have. He wants you, he wants me to have that gift of peace. It fully lines up with who he is. It fully lines up with why he came to this earth, why he gave up his life, was so that you and I could live in peace and be people of peace. It's a great gift. But so often we take gifts for granted, don't we? I don't know if you can think about any time in your life where, you know, you just didn't really like what you got or you were in a bad mood. Unfortunately, I can think back to a couple different times where I felt a little bit like an ungrateful jerk when I received a gift on Christmas Day. I had a very generous sister, and she would always buy me these great gifts. And I don't know, do any of you remember when portable video games look like this? You know, it's, you know, all this really, you know, cool state-of-the-art graphics, and you would take these kind of things with you, and you would just have, you know, this fun time trying to navigate turns, you know, trying not to, you know, wreck all that kind of stuff. And there would be games like this that I didn't put hundreds of hours into. I probably put thousands of hours into games like this. But that one Christmas, I really wanted a Mongoose bicycle. And I really thought my sister was going to get me a Mongoose bicycle. And whenever I opened up my video game, I was just so disappointed. And when I look back on that time, I'm like, oh, Doug, you were such an ungrateful jerk. You just, you know, couldn't appreciate what you were given. And if memory serves me right, just a few weeks later for my birthday, she gave me a Mongoose bicycle. And, you know, it's just like, oh, ow, that's painful. But sometimes we don't appreciate the gifts that we've been given. And I think it's easy for you and I to take that gift of peace, the gift of Jesus as the Prince of Peace, for granted. You know, when life's just all good, oh, when the waters are calm, who needs that peace? Life is all good. But then the storms of life roll in and they just sort of shake up our world, and then we realize that peace, it's missing. We get anxious, we lose sleep, we have those anxiety or panic attacks, and you know, we're like, oh man, I so want that peace, I so long for that peace, and we realize it's something that we took for granted. How would you describe your life right now? Just slow down this Christmas Eve and take stock. What kind of words, what kind of emotions would you use to describe your life today? What would they be? All the positive kinds of emotions. You're excited, you're fulfilled, you're content, you're filled with joy. Or are there some more of those negative emotions that you might use to describe your life? a sense of hopelessness, or there's anger, or there's loneliness, or you're worried. Maybe there's an emptiness or that sense of unfulfillment. Maybe you're troubled, maybe you're jealous, you would fill in the blank. But what kind of words would you use to describe your life right now, Christmas Eve 2023? But did the word peace come up in your mind? Are you at peace? Are you at peace with God? How about peace with yourself? Peace with others? Are you at peace with the world around you? Thomas Merton says it like this. He says, we are not at peace with others because we are not at peace with ourselves. And we are not at peace with ourselves because we are not at peace with God. And peace with God is foundational to having peace in any other area in our life. But what is this peace that Jesus came to bring? What does it mean to be the Prince of Peace? Some people would define peace as an absence of conflict, a ceasefire, a truce, an end, or at least a short-term end to hostilities. But you know that that's not what real peace is. You just instinctively get that. You don't look back a few weeks ago whenever Israel and Gaza had a 7-day truce. No one was saying, finally, there's peace. Finally, they're no longer against one another. No one said that because they knew that wasn't what true peace all looks like or what it's all about. So what is this Prince of Peace all about? If you look at the Hebrew words and when you read Isaiah, for Prince of Peace, it is Shar Shalom. Shar Shalom, would you just say that out loud with me, everybody? Shar Shalom. That's Prince of Peace in Hebrew. So now you're all speaking Hebrew. You're doing great. But what do these words really mean? Let's start with shalom, a word we're more familiar with. Because that word is so much bigger than an absence of conflict. It's so much bigger than a ceasefire or a truce. That word shalom has so much more meaning of depth. It's to make things whole, to make things complete, to mend all that is fractured, to bring back together what has been separated, to restore broken relationships. So shalom connotates that at one time there was something that was whole and it's been broken, it's been separated, there are now gaps, and shalom is the bringing of all of that back together. It's eliminating the gaps, it's making it complete. But how about the word for prince, that shar? Well, what does that really mean? What does that really look like? The Hebrew word for that we translate prince means commander or master or chief. And if you put the two Hebrew words together, what Isaiah is really telling us in the gift of the Prince of Peace, that one is coming. Isaiah is saying that there is one who is coming with both authority and power to restore what is broken. One who is in charge of bringing about wholeness, completeness. The one who makes a way for the gaps to be closed and eliminated. And some 2,700 years ago, God promised his people that a Messiah was coming as a Prince of Peace. And it might not have been the Messiah that people really thought they wanted, but it's the Messiah that they needed. It was the gift that they needed and the gift of the Prince of Peace, bringing hope and light into a broken, separated, fractured world. This promise was made when the nation of Israel was separated. It was northern kingdom against southern kingdom. This promise was made by the prophet Isaiah when Israel was totally out of line with their everlasting father, their heavenly father. They were offering sacrifices just as it being a ritual, not anything to do with their heart or their relationship with God. They were bringing injustice to other people, their own neighbors, their own countrymen, stacking them one upon another. And Isaiah comes in and he both calls them out and he offers them hope. He offers them a way back, a way for things to be restored, to be made right, to be made whole again, to eliminate the separation, to eliminate the gaps. Isaiah goes on in the next verse to describe the Prince of Peace, and he says, his government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all of eternity. So this Prince of Peace, this Messiah, this long-awaited Jesus, his rule, his government's going to look different than any other earthly government. Two ways Isaiah tells us. One is that it will never end. Now, if I just asked you, if I said, can you tell me the longest standing, any time in our history, the longest that any government has ever existed, you would answer by telling me, exactly, because there's no agreement on the answer to that question. Some people will say China, because you know China, its boundaries, you know, for 3,500 years, China existed. But historians will say, well, that's not government, that's not rule, because the government and the rule within China over that 3,500 years changed again and again and again. And other people will say, well, you know, that word government that we see here is more like rule. It is more like a lasting government and empire. And they'll say, well, it's the Byzantine Empire. That lasted the longest. The Eastern Roman Empire. You know, that's just over 1,100 years. But other historians will say, well, no, that was interrupted. That didn't last that long. You can't count that. So there's a multitude of answers to that question of what's been the longest lasting government in our history. But where you find complete and total agreement among every historian is that no government lasts forever. Every government, every nation has a shelf life. Everyone has an expiration date. Some are shorter than others. Israel got to be a united nation for a whole 120 years. That was it. But the Prince of Peace, his government, it lasts forever. And then another way is to distinguish is that it is one that will be constant, eternal rule with fairness and justice. Now, if you're curious like me, you can go a Googling and you can say, hey, well, what countries, what nations, what governments are most characterized by fairness and justice? And you can get like a top 10 list. But even those that are in that top 10, they so pale in comparison to Jesus' rule, to his government, to his reign, because it will be one of perfect fairness and perfect justice. Because Jesus' way, the way of peace, there is no end. And this subject of peace, it's found throughout Scripture more than 330 times. I want to give you one example of the Prince of Peace talking about the gift of peace. In John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. And his disciples were probably thinking the same things that you and I are thinking. How? Jesus, in all that's going on in the world around us, how can I have peace of mind and heart? How can I not be troubled or afraid? Because in their time period, in our time period, there is war, there is strife, there is lying, there is just people manipulating other people for evil. It is just totally, you know, a bad thing. And the disciples could be asking the same question you and I are. How on earth, Jesus, are we supposed to have that peace? And if you haven't experienced that kind of peace, it's hard to even put your brain around what Jesus is talking about here. When you make an active choice to follow Jesus, and you come to know him as the Prince of Peace, and you have that everyday in and out relationship, just walking with Jesus, You begin to understand that peace. It just goes deep. It's part of the core of who you are, because your identity is in who you are in Christ, who you are in Jesus, not in your identity in the world. And it gives you that peace. It just goes on and on, no matter what's going on in the world around you. It's the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about. Maybe it's not the gift that you want, but it's the gift that you need. The Apostle Paul talks about peace over and over. You can't bring up a single one of his epistles, a single one of his letters, and get five verses down and you say what's Paul's normal greeting, grace and peace to you. It's often at the end of some of his letters as well. So let me give you one example of Paul talking about peace in 2 Thessalonians. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. And anyone who makes that decision to follow Jesus and comes to know him as the Prince of Peace, you are rejoined. The gaps are eliminated. You are no longer separated from your Heavenly Father. You're part of his family. Joint heirs to the throne of Jesus Christ as his sons and daughters. And there's that peace that comes in that just saturates. It becomes part of the core of who you are, because the gaps have been eliminated. The price has been paid by the ultimate gift of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and paying the penalty for our sins and walking out of an empty tomb 3 days later and defeating death. But that Prince of Peace, the gift of peace, isn't just a gift for the other side of eternity. Sometimes we mess that up. We miss peace in the here and now. Vance Harvner says it like this: not everyone who has made peace with God has realized the peace of God. But once again, when you have that relationship with Jesus, it's that sense of quietness and tranquility and calmness that's just indescribable. When we're grounded in Jesus, we just begin to experience that peace, not because of anything that we have done. It's all because of the relationship we have with him and what he has done. And it doesn't matter what your world looks like. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You can just continue to have that peace, even in some of the biggest storms of life. Up here, I have, we'll call this my ocean. So picture yourself out in the Atlantic Ocean. And now add a storm. Let's make it a hurricane, maybe Category 5, north of 250 mile per hour winds. And my question for you is simply this. In that storm, I have my submarine, I have my boat. You're out in the Atlantic Ocean, Category 5 storm. The waves are coming and going. Would you rather be in a boat or would you rather be in a submarine? Tell me your answer. What would you rather be in? Submarine, right? I was talking to a submariner this past week, and I said, I want to make sure I have my facts straight, that the deeper you go, the less you experience the storm. And you can get to a depth where you would not even know that there is a 250 mile per hour storm going on above you. And he said, yeah, Doug, that's absolutely right. And that's why when the storms of life come, we want to be grounded. We want to go deep. We don't want to capsize. We don't want our life to be turned upside down. And I'm not going to give you a four-step way to experience the peace of Jesus. If you want more peace in your life, spend more time with the Prince of Peace. It really is that straightforward and simple. If you want more peace in your life, spend more time with Jesus. Earlier this fall, we talked about in one of our sermons, learning Jesus. Just having that time every week dedicated to learning who Jesus is, the way of Jesus. Because the more that you learn Jesus, the deeper that you go. And the world around you can be turbulent and turned upside down, but you're grounded, you're secure. Sometimes so much so that people will just think you're crazy because they're like, how can you be so calm? How can you be so at peace? How are you not losing sleep? All that's going on in your life or all that's going on in the world around you, and you just seem to be at peace. It's because your relationship with the Prince of Peace goes deep. And when the waves come and the wind blows, it doesn't mean it's easy. It just means that you're grounded, you're rooted. Out of that relationship, you are experiencing the Prince of Peace in your life. On your connection card, whether you're online or in person, two things, and this is what I want to do. This week, anybody that fills out this, I want to be praying for you by name. Maybe Christmas Eve 2023 is a turning point in your life, and this Christmas Eve, you're accepting the gift of peace offered through Jesus. You've been looking at a distance, but now you're making a choice to follow, to understand what it means for Jesus to be your Savior, your forgiver, your Lord, your King. And you're choosing to actively follow him. But maybe there's some stuff going on in your life, and you would love for somebody just to be praying for you, just that you would experience the Prince of Peace in that situation. I would love to be praying for you by name. But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, it's a gift to you and I. Jesus wants us to live a life at peace. He wants us to be people of peace. It's part of our testimony to a world around us. It's part of the way that he brings light into a dark, hurting, and broken world. That gift of shalom, closing the gaps, bringing it all back together. Let's pray. Father, those words that Isaiah spoke some 2,700 years ago, that the Prince of Peace was coming, might be the gift that we didn't think we wanted, but it certainly is the gift that we need. I want to pray for those that are just today making that decision to follow Jesus, to know him as their Prince of Peace, that it would be a beautiful turning point in their lives as they would come to know you more and more, the who Jesus is, the way that he lived, what he asked us to do, and how he asked us to live, who he asked us to be, that we just be grounded further and further in that peace. Praying for those that have some very real struggles. Man, the waves are high around them, the winds are blowing, and it is so hard in the midst of their circumstances to experience that peace. Jesus, often we just ask you to calm the storm. Today we're asking you to calm our soul, to calm our heart, to calm our mind, to allow us to be people in peace and of peace, regardless of what's going on in our lives or the world around us. We thank you for that ultimate gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the babe in the manger, so much that he offers to us and for us. May we come to know him at a greater depth and live our lives out of that deep, overabiding relationship with the Son of the Creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We commit this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.